The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello, welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, Gab Marcotta will be reacting to the news that finally Ronald Koeman officially unveiled as the new Barcelona coach and where that leaves Messi's future in Catalonia. We'll start, though, in the Champions League. It's kind of the final we all wanted. PSG will take on Bayern Munich after Bayern beat Lyon by 3-0. Here to discuss the game, Ali Moreno, Frank Leboeuf and Craig Burley. Craig, this was by and far from their swashbuckling best, but they got the job done.
Yeah, but you've got to, you know, Lyon on their side, and they've shown that one of the main strengths is making it difficult for the opposition. It's something I think Rudy Garcia will be looking to improve on next year, in terms of where they're going to finish in Ligue 1. But that's what they've set their stall out, particularly in this competition. They hit on the counter-attack, they're super organised, they're aggressive. And so I think I never expected it to be this crazily open game that Barcelona approached Bayern with. So in that respect, it was a little understandable. But also Lyon, as you know, for those that watched, no, they created their own chances in the game, and if their finishing had been clinical, it may have been more interesting. But, you know, I thought it was professional from Bayern Munich, and then they brought some big boys on from the bench as well. But they deserved it. And Lyon, I'm sure Frank will agree, Lyon, from a Frenchman, can hold their head high for what they've done in this competition.
Frank?
Yeah, true. I'm not disappointed by the result, because we all were expecting that Bayern will win and go to the final. But we can be a little bit frustrated as French fans, let's say, about the fact that Lyon had some chances. I think they had more chances to score than they had against Manchester City, where they scored 3 goals. But before that magnificent goal from Gnabry, I think it's Toko Ekampi had a big chance and hit the post. But because of the fantastic Neuer, Bayern weren't punished, where they opened up a little bit too much defensively, especially behind the defense. But I agree with Craig. Lyon is very well organized, did everything to annoy Bayern Munich, annoyed their rhythm and their the physical aspect of their games, and played them in counter-attack. That was the only solution for them to maybe hope for a better score. But Bayern Munich managed to do everything well for them and showed that they're definitely, for me, the favorite now. And we'll talk that about maybe after in the other segment. It's something to hope for Paris Saint-Germain in the perspective of that final, because Bayern Munich was very weak at some point defensively.
It was a really open start to this game, and it's fair to say, isn't it, Ali, before Gnabry scored, it could have been 2-0 to Lyon.
It could have been, and it should have been. And so if Rudy Garcia is putting together a game plan for Lyon coming into this game and into this match, you think, okay, if we can force a turnover in the midfield, and then with one pass we can get in behind, we can get Depay behind and Toko Ekambi behind, then maybe we get ourselves a goal and we make this game a whole lot different, a whole lot more complicated for Bayern Munich. And that's exactly what happened. It's a turnover by Thiago Alcantara. Now it's a through ball, and Depay gets around Manuel Neuer. Open goal, unable to score, and you're thinking, okay, maybe that was the chance. Maybe that was their opportunity. This is what could have changed the game for Lyon. But it wasn't just that chance. It's Toko Ekambi had a couple more himself, where the one in which he somehow goes through the challenge of Alphonso Davies, gets up, it's left-footed, everything to shoot at, and hits it at the post. And it's seconds later then that you see Serge Gnabry kind of say, all right, well, you guys missed your chances. We're not going to miss ours. And here we go. It's all about our talent and what we can do in the attacking half. And Bayern Munich took over from there. But I agree with Frank in the sense that you look at Bayern Munich and how vulnerable and frail they look sometimes defensively, that in that very transition, I think Lyon looked at it and said, wait a minute, if we attack this team, we're going to create chances. And in doing so, they got themselves a little bit stretched. And when they got stretched, then all of a sudden, transition going the other way, Gnabry scores one, and then things just kind of opened up, and then Gnabry scores a second one, again on transition down the left-hand side. And then from there, it was all over for Lyon and Bayern Munich. Well, we're underway.
How good was that opening goal from Gnabry, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, he's a special player now, isn't he? And I mean, let's be quite frank about it. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, he wasn't. And his career looked as if it wasn't really heading anywhere. And fair play to him. You know, he's the guy that's turned it around. You know, you can take people into the training field, you can change your coaches, you can do whatever, but the player himself has turned it on his head. And he's just a huge threat now. And the way that he took the goal in terms of the touch, how he cut inside, how there was always two or three defenders around him, and then he just made a half a yard, nothing more, half a yard, and rifled in the top corner. He's just added so much to his game. I think it's confidence, it's experience, and playing with such good players around him. And he's, you know, as I said, no, you asked the coaches when he was playing back in England, you know, at Arsenal, I think on loan at West Brom, really was a player going nowhere. And now, what is he? You know, apart from Lewandowski, who is the first name on the Bayern team sheet, this guy's not far behind. That's an amazing turnaround.
Ali, how does this happen? How does it change around so quickly for a player?
Well, I think the surroundings have to do a lot with it, and the expectations that are generated by the people around you. And when you have a training environment at Bayern Munich where everybody's expected to perform at a high level at all times, and when the only expectation for you individually and as a group is you're going to win everything that you participate in, then you better show up. I think it demanded the best out of Serge Gnabry, and we have seen the very best of him. Now, this could have gone horribly wrong for him, and then whenever he was asked to give his best, well, maybe that wasn't going to be good enough at Bayern Munich, and his career was going to come to an end somewhere without having achieved the things. And now he has opened himself up in terms of the chances that he has in front of him and the things that he can achieve. I think he got to a point in which he needed to answer the call, where he needed to be the player that we all thought that he could have been early on, but we didn't see enough of it. Now that we see the full potential, well, then then you just have to sort of ask the question as to not only to the individual player, Serge Gnabry, how did you get to this point, but to the training environment that he was a part of before that couldn't quite get this out of him. So, yes, it is fair to go and ask Arsenal, well, what's going on back there? And I think you also have to recognize that Bayern Munich have done a wonderful job of putting him in a position in which he can truly showcase his talent. And you also have to say to the player, here was a chance, here's your opportunity, take advantage of it. And he has done such a good job of really showcasing what he is as a player this year.
He, of course, got the second, Craig, in the 33rd minute. And I think pretty much everyone thought, well, Bayern are going to pretty much run away with this now. However, we had to wait until the 88th minute for their third goal, which of course came from Lewandowski. Why didn't they kick on in the second half, as maybe some would have expected?
Well, I don't think they quite had the urge to go and smash Lyon like they did Barcelona. And I think there was a realisation that they didn't. It was the semi-final, and they didn't want to be too front-footed and leave himself wide open. I mean, they still left himself open on a couple of occasions. They also had the change to make with the injury to Boateng and the introduction of Sula as well. So, you know, and I think they were dominating the game so much in terms of possession that I think subconsciously, and we talk about this a lot, they kind of take your foot off the gas and say, right, let's just kill the game off. Let's not take any chances. And I think we've just become accustomed to teams sometimes, right? Go and get 4 and 5 and 6. And sometimes it's not always that easy. But, you know, I always felt that they were in control. I always felt that if they wanted a third or a fourth, they could have gone and got it. And let's not forget, it was almost the whole game went by before Lewandowski got on the score sheet. So we didn't even see him at his sparkling best. On this occasion, he left it to others. I mean, he missed for the Gnabry second goal. It was Lewandowski, pretty much a sitter, that he missed that offered it up for Gnabry. So, yeah, I thought it was efficient from Bayern without being the brilliance of the Barcelona game, and sort of maybe saving a little bit for the final, which I know we're going to talk about, and it's going to be a heck of a lot of a tougher game.
This was a poor game. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I would also say that it's so very difficult as a team after you had the dominant performance that you had against Barcelona and the emotional high of having had that sort of performance to then back it up with yet another wonderful, dynamic, explosive performance. I think there was always going to be a letdown because, yeah, you just beat Barcelona 8-2. You just did that to one of the teams that historically has been one of the best in Europe. And everybody's telling you how great you are. And all you read is how wonderful you are and how beautiful everything is and how explosive and dynamic and the goals and Lewandowski and Alphonso Davies, so on and so forth. So I think there was always going to be a letdown. That was always going to be a danger for Bayern Munich. But even then, you still saw enough quality and enough efficiency and enough effectiveness in the final third to make sure that they were far better than Lyon. And I think we saw that today.
Frank Lewandowski.
Is 3-0 not good enough, Dan? If I can...
So if I can add something, it's also because we had a fantastic game against Barcelona, and Alice just said it, but because Barcelona, of course, opened up because it's the kind of the game they have and they only know. So they need to have the possession, they want to go forward. And Lyon showed something different. And even in the second half, they didn't change their tactic. It was the only tactic, as I said before, to maybe hope for something better. And I think it disturbed Bayern Munich in the rhythm that they want to give to the game. And of course, as my colleagues say, both of them, they were managing the game and they were making sure that they were in control of the game. And I think they were. They were. And subconsciously, they put down the reason because they knew that they would be able to go a little bit forward and to pace up a little bit their games if they wanted to. But they did not need to. Even if they scared us at some point with Lyon in the second half opportunities.
Let's, Dan, just quickly, let's just take this moment to remind people that Barcelona's in my head at the moment after that game. Bayern Munich, arguably in second gear, have just pretty easily knocked out the side that over two legs knocked out Juventus over two games and then beat Manchester City. So, you know, and without really hitting the high notes that they've hit in the six-month period that Hansi Flick has been the coach, that's how efficient at the moment this Bayern Munich side is.
Just going back to Lewandowski, that was his 15th goal in the Champions League, too short of the Cristiano Ronaldo record, Frank. How would you fancy going up against him? What makes him so difficult to defend against?
Well, I think he can reach that. Paris Saint-Germain is working hard defensively. I think they have the best defense in the Champions League, but I think Lewandowski will have some chances. But Lewandowski needs his partner in order to have chances more than Ronaldo, who can create himself opportunities. He's a fantastic striker. He's very clever. He knows how to position himself. When he scores his goal on the corner kick, you can see the movement that he does when he goes on the far post and come back and trouble Marcelo before jumping over him. I mean, yeah, he's top-notch striker, but everybody knows that. He's a world fantastic player, and I'm sure he can join Ronaldo at the best, even if they are completely different. It's just in terms of scoring goals that they can join together.
If Frank was playing against Lewandowski, Dan, be assured Frank would talk him to death. It's not even debatable. You know, Lewandowski would spend the whole day, the whole game, saying, shut up, Frank. Because that's what we used to do to Frank at Chelsea. 7 days a week, 365 days a year, we couldn't shut him up. So Frank would have found a way to put Lewandowski off his game. Trust me. I know that man.
Yeah, true. True. I will tell him to shut up. And then I will try to be nice to him. You know, when you try to be nice to a striker, maybe sometimes, and you can ask Ali, maybe sometimes they let go, you know, because, oh, the guy is nice. I don't want to put any shame on him. If you're hard to the guy, maybe he's gonna touch his ego and he's gonna hammer you. So Yeah, man, I will talk to him. He's a nice guy. He seems to be a nice guy. We can have a coffee after.
Good.
And I will talk and talk and
right,
talk.
Right, yeah, good. Away from flirting from strikers, Ali, how impressive is Lewandowski's achievements this season?
Well, there's no doubt that Robert Lewandowski is the best out-and-out striker in the world. His movement off the ball, his ability to find open spaces inside the 18-yard box, his movement away from defenders, and something that he has done so very well this season in particular is his hold-up play. So sometimes he's not scoring the goals, but he is playing with his back to goal, and he's able to recognize movement of midfielders that are running past him, of wide areas that are guys from wide areas coming to the inside, and he's the one laying the ball off. So his combination play with Thomas Muller, with Serge Gnabry, with Kingsley Coman when he comes off the bench, with Coutinho when he comes off the bench, from the guys trailing in the midfield, from Leon Goretzka when he adds himself into the attack. All of those things have made his game a lot more complete, and what you see right now is a guy at his very best. And as a striker, there's nothing better than feeling confident when you step on the field and knowing full well that more than likely you're going to get multiple opportunities because of your movement, because of the passes that are coming your way, because of your ability to find spaces. And as a confident player that he is right now, then everything that he touches seems to go in the back of the net. So that's why it was surprising that a couple of times today when he was in those positions that you expect him to finish, he is swinging a miss or mishitting it or miskicking it. What I would say is that that doesn't happen two or three games in a row. So if I'm PSG, I'm paying attention because Lewandowski is due for a breakout. He didn't score a bunch of goals against Barcelona, didn't score a bunch of goals tonight. Maybe his big performance comes against PSG in the final.
That final. He's equaled Gerd Müller's record, Dan, of what was it, the late 60s, something like that? 55 goals in domestic football or a season for is just incredible. And what a game. What a mouth-watering game he has that he could break it. Champions League final. It's just incredible. 55 goals. I mean, you know, he's going to be licking his lips for this game. To not only lift it, the trophy, but to beat that record, that's going to mean a heck of a lot. To achieve that over somebody, an icon like Gerd Müller of German football, would be something else. And to do it in this kind of season would be... And listen, I know we're going to talk about the final, but he would not want to be breaking a record if he's not picking up a Champions League trophy. So first things first, that's the most important thing. But if he can have both, and he's a striker, so he's greedy, he's going to want both. And who are we to say the form he's in, he's not going to achieve that?
That final then will be on Sunday. Meanwhile, Friday we'll see the Europa League final between Sevilla and Inter Milan, and we'll be looking ahead to that game on the next edition of the show.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It really is a mouth-watering final then. The champions of France taking on the champions of Germany. Both teams with just so many stars. Craig, who's the favourite?
Well, I think Bayern are still favourites in most people's eyes, but it's going to be extremely close. Their biggest test so far, you would imagine, and they've had a few, but with the fitness, the back to fitness of Mbappe, with Neymar looking sharp, with Di Maria back in that side, they will be the favourites. But in the same sentence, I think PSG will be licking their chops, watching the chances that can be created against this Bayern side. And I think Bayern will hold their hands up and say, look, we give away chances. No, we do, and we play that high line, but we take a risk, and that's the way we play. And then it comes down to, Dan, you know, we talked about it in yesterday's show, you know, and Stevie in particular, and Frank saying Neymar, you know, gets in some great positions but hasn't been finishing teams off. Is this the occasion? The big occasion? The one that PSG brought him in for? Champions League final? Are we going to see him really, you know, spark it off and finish these chances? Because they're going to get chances, PSG.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what they'll hold their hat on. But I still think Bayern are favourites because of the all-round package of their team.
Craig mentioned there this high line that Bayern play, and we've talked about it a lot, Frank. Is there not an argument to say, well, maybe they need to address this, considering the pace of Mbappe and Neymar and the threat that they cause? Or is this just ingrained in this DNA of this Bayern side and they won't or can't change it?
I don't think they're going to change it. I think it's why we're going to see a fantastic final. I mean, we saw four fantastic quarterfinals because games were very opened up. But the two semifinals that we saw yesterday and today was with a slow rhythm, with more calculation of the tactic and how to cope with the situation. I think you have Bayern Munich, who are sure that they have the good way of seeing the football with Flick. And Paris Saint-Germain, who needs the possession of the ball, who needs to go forward, but to take their times to create something and then go fast. I think we're going to see many, many goals. I think we're going to see many opportunities. And I think Paris Saint-Germain can surprise Bayern Munich behind their defense because they play really flat. They don't look backwards. And when you have Mbappe and Neymar and you have the beauty of passing of Di Maria, I think for sure you're going to see something different and some trouble. Now they have Neuer in goal, who seems to be unbeatable. And we saw it again today, because if Toko Ekambi hit the post because Neuer touched it, he pushed Depay outside on his first chance. So I feel that Bayern Munich is the favorite. I think that they're going to do the job. I think the more open the game is going to be, the easier it's going to be for them. But we're going to go for a hell of a game because Paris Saint-Germain is going to be there. They're going to give their best. And Neymar will have to prove that the Paris Saint-Germain paid him a lot to win it. So he's going to give everything. Mbappe, of course, is going to be there. Verratti is going to be in the middle and going to serve Mbappe and the others very well. So I'm looking forward to seeing that game because it's going to be something fantastic. I really hope.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? This really could be a final for the ages. And anyone who's got any interest in this sport should really watch this game because it should deliver everything you want as a neutral.
Yeah, I assume so, Dan. But here's the thing. We have to be careful.
No, because every time that we don't want to be careful.
No. Listen, you're getting excited. I understand. I'm excited myself. Yes, I want to see a great final. But every time that we get into this, it's going to be a final for the ages. You know what ends up happening? Not a final for the ages. So if I'm looking at this, one of the matchups that I really look forward to, I'm saying, okay, we always see Alphonso Davies going in the attack on the left-hand side and the pace with which he attacks. So sometimes Perisic will tuck inside, opens up that space for Alphonso Davies. Alphonso Davies times that run very well, and in transition, he just gets past the defender like he wasn't even there. Okay, so if Alphonso Davies is doing that, and then Mbappe is getting behind in the space that Alphonso Davies just left, where is the pace for recovery for Bayern Munich? And so if indeed it becomes a duel of pace between Mbappe and Alphonso Davies, now we're talking. Now we're cooking. Because now it's not just Alphonso Davies in a mismatch or Mbappe in a mismatch. It's true speed against true speed. And who's going to defend whom? Who's going to take the opportunity to attack the other? And who's going to be the player that is truly going to make the difference for their team? I assume that Mbappe is going to attract the attention of Alphonso Davies at times. But if Davies is willing to attack, he's going to force Mbappe back as well, which will give an advantage to Bayern Munich. The outside play and the speed with which his play on the outside may just determine the success of this game.
Done.
Ali and Dan, I'm thinking
team selection is key here. Sorry, Frank.
Sorry.
Just to go back to your point on Verratti, team selection is key here. I would imagine Bayern Munich will remain unchanged, apart from the potential for Jerome Boateng. Don't really know what what his injury is, how bad it is. But the key thing here for PSG is, and Frank mentioned Verratti, is the fitness. That's a big call. We saw him come on at the end of the Leipzig game, but only for a few minutes. And that midfield operated pretty well. You know, very hard-working midfield with Paredes, Marquinhos and Herrera. It's not the most productive. But then again, does it need to be with that front three? And so I think that, I mean, clearly Verratti is the better player of those three in terms of the midfield. So if he comes in, it's probably for Herrera and Paredes remains in there. But it's a big call from Thomas Tuchel if a player's not quite fit. The other side of the coin is, and we can talk about Mbappe, Neymar and Di Maria going forward, and that is super important. But equally, if PSG are going to stand a chance in this game, you could say what those three do defensively is going to be equally as important, because we saw Barcelona try to leave two up top in Messi and Suarez and got absolutely flanked and flooded in the midfield by Bayern Munich. Now, if those guys, particularly two of the three wider guys, don't work their backsides off to get back in and help out that midfield, then PSG are not going to stand a chance, because we know how Bayern are good, are so good at moving the little chess pieces around, and they'll outnumber you. So it is a game of chess. It is going to be a game of bluff. You know, do I leave up there and cheat a little bit, hoping we win the ball back and then I hit it over the top, as Ali said, for Mbappe? Or where's the balance in terms of working back? Because you're going to have to do your defensive duties as well against this Bayern side, or you're not going to win the game. If PSG get that balance right, they've got a chance. If they don't, Bayern Munich, I think, will overpower them.
Last word on this, Frank, to you.
Well, according to what Craig just said, I think we can say that Paris is going to lose, though, because neither Mbappe, Neymar or Di Maria is going to defend. They don't want to defend. They don't know
Frank,
how to defend.
Well, Frank, but they're going to have to defend, Frank. This is a Champions League final. You can't leave three up top against this Bayern team. It just won't work.
I agree with you. And I was hoping that for years with Neymar, Mbappe and Di Maria, but I never seen that. It's why Tuchel put Marquinhos in the midfield, and it's why sometimes he played like with Verratti, Gay and Marquinhos, because he wants to reinforce his midfield zone, because he knows that the three won't defend. So I just want to say that it's going to be a chess game. The team who's going to change his tactic and the way he plays, I think he's going to lose. Because, I was listening what on Ali comment, saying that what's going to happen with Alphonso Davies and Mbappe. I think Davies is going to go forward. And I think Mbappe is not going to follow him. And I think Mbappe is going to try to get in counter-attack and will have an open space because Davies will be forward. But the one, I think if Davies goes back, stays at the back and doesn't go forward, they're going to lose one tool, one skill, and maybe not win the game. So the stronger in his head is going to win that game.
It's going to be a great match, isn't it? We've got plenty of time to look ahead to it. Thank you very much, gents. Just a reminder, extra time available over on YouTube. Ali and Gab answering your tweets.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
So it's made official today. Ronald Koeman is the new manager of Barcelona. On his unveiling, he said, "Everyone knows that Barcelona is my dream club. It feels very special to me to be able to become a coach there." Well, let's welcome in Gab Marcotti. Gab, first off, if this is his dream move, why didn't he take it earlier on in the year when he was offered it, when Valverde was initially sacked?
Well, of course, he's got the other dream, of course, which is winning the Euros with Holland. I think things are obviously uphill for Koeman, not just because of the situation with the club, but I think in some ways he suits everybody. because Bartomeu gets a guy in and the history and whatever else. There's elections coming up. If there's a new president, well, there will be a new president coming in, but if it's an anti-Bartomeu president, he can just get rid of Koeman and bring in his guy next summer. Or he can keep Koeman around if Koeman does well, but, you know, never quite assume the paternity of Koeman, blame him on Bartomeu. And, you know, I think these are the circumstances under which Koeman got his job. Like, people raise eyebrows, but it's a blank slate. He's got a difficult job. He's got limited room to maneuver. Now it's up to him.
Where does this all leave Messi? Gab, how much would he have been consulted in this appointment? Do you think he's happy with this appointment? Does it mean he's going to stay? What's the lay of the land?
I mean, I think you'd be mad to bring in a manager without at least consulting Messi or knowing what he's thinking. You know, these rumors about him mulling a move, I don't know. I mean, there's so many reasons not to believe them. Koeman does have a reputation as a player's coach, and maybe, you know, that was part of the thinking as well. But the fact of the matter is, Bartomeu knows it's kind of out of his hands to some degree, because again, he's not going to be the president that much longer, and so he doesn't need to bend over backwards and cater to Messi. If Koeman comes in and says, look, I'll steady the ship, I won't embarrass you, I'll work with what I have, I'm not going to go and demand new signings or whatever, I can make this work. I think that's all that Bartomeu is asking for right now, a bit of peace and calm, a bit of tranquility.
Obviously, Bartomeu came out yesterday saying basically, Messi's my one, he's not for sale, there are others as well, listing the likes of Ter Stegen. However, other names, and of course, significantly, when you make these sort of statements, people will focus on the players that you didn't mention, including the likes of Luis Suarez. And you kind of think, well, if you're trying to offload these players, surely the best way to do it isn't to tell everybody you're going to try and offload these players.
No, and look, there's a reality here, right? The reality is that you know that they need cash and they want to raise cash, and the only way they can do it is by selling players. But then you also know that a lot of these guys that we're talking about are older. You know, in Suarez's case, I think he's 33 now. He's on huge wages. There's very few clubs that can afford him, and those clubs that can afford him likely aren't going to give you a big transfer fee for him. So the fact of the matter is he doesn't need to mention Suarez, because it's going to be very, very difficult for, unless Suarez decides, yeah, I want to leave, or he gets benched, it's going to be very, very difficult for him to shift him. You know, the issue with Barcelona is they have a very limited number of realistically saleable assets. And those saleable assets, people like Ter Stegen, people like Ansu Fati, you know, aren't the kind of guys that they want to sell. So they're kind of painted in a corner. And that's why you saw them do a deal like the Artur for Pjanic deal, which was, you know, effectively for accounting purposes.
Moving away from Barcelona, Gab, I just want to talk about one of the transfers that we've talked a lot about. Were there developments, significant ones today regarding Kai Havertz moving to Chelsea, suggestions that maybe personal terms have been agreed?
This idea that personal terms had been agreed, that's been out there for a while. I think some of the reports coming out of Germany saying that not only were they agreed, but they also listed what they were. They said 5 years. A five-year package worth $100 million going to the player. That is euros, but you know, for those keeping track in pounds per week, that's something that's well over $300,000 a week. So I think it's close to £350,000 a week. I mean, look, I haven't had confirmation of this. I certainly wasn't able to stand that up. It would seem extraordinary that Chelsea would spend so much money on a single player, let alone Kai Havertz, in terms of wages, and give such a huge deal. I stick to what I've said before, that Chelsea, I think, will only sign Kai Havertz if they can get him at a price that they really, really like. And while all the news out of Germany is like, yes, the deal's almost done and it's going to be 70 million, 80 million, 85 million, it just doesn't feel right to me at those numbers. Maybe they know better than me. I genuinely don't know. There are suggestions that Leverkusen have put a deadline on this at the end of August, which of course is just around the corner. But again, if you're Chelsea, why would you be pushed into observing any kind of deadline? I mean, if you show up later with money, it's not, and the guy still wants to come and you've got a deal in place with him, you know, it's not like he's not going to come. So to me, and this is just a gut feeling, this is Havertz's people and Leverkusen trying to hurry the thing along, and Chelsea saying, yeah, you know what, let's take our time with this, and you know, if we do this, we'll get this on our terms. And I don't think it's going to be 20 million euros a year as has been reported in Germany.
Don't they need a defender?
Yes.
Why didn't they get one of them instead of Kai Havertz?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's only so much money to go around, right? They've been linked with a number of defenders. Obviously, we've seen Ben Chilwell. We've seen Regulon from Sevilla, although he was on loan at Sevilla. He's a Real Madrid player. He's been hawked around. The guy involved with him is Kia Jurapshin, who's obviously very well known to Chelsea and is quite strong with a number of Premier League clubs. The center backs that they've been linked with, the people like John Stones and stuff, I'm not so sure about that. You know, Lampard wants to necessarily get into that. I do think from the club's perspective, there is an impetus to bring in another center back and a left back if they can do it. But I think that will continue to remain their priority.
Gab, thank you very much. A lot more from Gab tomorrow, I imagine, with a very excited Julien Laurent. The latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast drops on Thursday. Be sure to download it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd-Pie, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you, as always, to Frank LaBeouf, to Craig Burley, and to Ali Moreno. Be sure to join us on tomorrow's programme, where focus will switch to the Europa League final between Sevilla and Inter. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali Moreno and Gab Marcotti with us. A lot of talk, obviously, about the Champions League final, what we saw today with Bayern's win over Lyon. Gab, is Coutinho's Champions League performances enough for Bayern to extend his loan or Barca to keep him?
No, I don't think they're going to extend his loan. He's extremely, extremely expensive. If you factor in his wages plus the loan fee, it's approaching 20 million. Bayern would need to go and get some sort of massive discount on that to justify it, because he's simply not producing to the level of his wages. In fact, he's not producing much at all. He's not starting for them anymore. And frankly, you know, he'd just be an extra body in there. So I think he's going back to Barcelona, and, you know, we'll try to relaunch his career there.
There's lots of rumours on Twitter, some true, some not, Gab. Can you confirm or deny? This isn't about you, by the way. I've made that sound a lot more seedy than it maybe was. Coutinho, Barcelona. If he wins the Champions League at Bayern Munich, Barcelona have to pay Liverpool 5 million? Is there any truth to that? Do you know?
I think I read somewhere that that was a myth, but it's not true. But I honestly wouldn't know. I was not privy to his contract and the add-ons in there. I think the add-ons were based on sort of the minutes and the games he plays for Barcelona and stuff like that. I do not believe that that is one of them.
We'll just say it's true anyway. There we are. Gab. There you are.
Why did you ask the question then?
Well, because it might be. No, it's funnier if it's true. Gab. At this point, which team is most likely to sign Koulibaly? Do Manchester City still need him after signing Ake?
I think Manchester City definitely want another central defender beyond Nathan Ake. Napoli, from their perspective, you know, they've gotten in the frame of mind where they'll keep him, where they know that he's older. But equally, if the right price comes along, they're going to sell. And I think the way they feel is, given the valuation they have on him, they're not going to let him go for a cut price. So I think it would really only be City or United that could come up with the money to do it. So, you know, if City want him, he's theirs, basically. Or United, the same thing. Otherwise, he's very happy to stay in Napoli.
Gab. Oh, no questions for you, Alan. Gab. Does Bayern's high defence line give the edge to PSG, considering they have Mbappe, Neymar and Di Maria?
Oh, I love this question, because it's something that we talked about on the Gavin Jewell show as well. I kind of think it doesn't give them the edge in the game, because I think top to bottom, Bayern still have better players. But I think it is an issue. And, you know, one of the things, and you saw it against Lyon as well, Lyon with those early chances, in part because of the high line and the speed of their strikers, but also because it's a very straight line that always plays the offside. They're not very reactive. You don't have necessarily that one guy dropping back. You know, Davies and Kimmich are often further up the pitch, which is understandable, and Davies has the recovery speed. But yeah, it doesn't take much to go and break that down if you've got speedy strikers and you've got somebody who can deliver clean ball. So I think it's something that Flick is going to have to seriously think about in this game, because, you know, if they gave up chances against Lyon because of it, you can imagine against Mbappe and better deliveries.
Gab, given now that French football is clearly superior to Italian football, shouldn't it be the Jules and Gab podcast or the Jules and Gab show?
Well, my position there isn't down to Italian football, and his position there isn't down to French football, and we're going alphabetically anyway.
Oh, how convenient.
And also, more importantly, we've been promised our very own Gab and Jewel Show branded coffee mugs. And given the vast expense involved in those, I don't think the company would approve coming up with entirely new ones branded Jewels and Gab.
Oh, no.
It's too much of a sunk cost.
Ali, let's talk about this high line. Obviously, Mbappe, Neymar, Di Maria, it's a dream for them.
It is, so long as they're not forced to defend because of the speed of Alphonso Davies and Kimmich adding himself to the attack and the mismatches that you're going to have through the midfield if you don't drop numbers into that area if you're PSG. And so I think for Bayern Munich, what they think of is, all right, we don't have a problem with playing a high line. Our problem is going to be if we have Kimmich and Davies already pushed up and we're turning the ball over in a bad area. Now Mbappe is going in behind, and whoever he's getting in behind, Davies won't have quite the recovery speed to get there because he's already committed himself 40 yards forward. Now, if indeed it is a high line and it's just the back four sitting there, they trust that Davis is going to get to anything that goes over his head. So I don't think they have an issue with that as much as if Kimmich and Davis are already pushed up, then the concern is what happens if we lose the ball in a bad area. And that's where PSG can take advantage of it. And that's where Mbappe, if he decides to, you know what, I'm not going to track back Alphonso Davies. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to trust that we're going to be able to regain possession. This is when I'm going to be most dangerous. A through ball is going to put me in a position where I'm in a one-on-one situation. And I like to think that Kylian Mbappe is better than Toko Ekambi, and he will have the sufficient talent to put the ball away. And if that's the case, then PSG, yes, they do have the advantage with that high line.
Right, let's completely switch gears.
And just one point about that also with Bayern is, Bayern don't have to play the high line and go and press Paris Saint-Germain high. I mean, one of the things that makes them so good, and we've seen this, you know, not often, but we certainly saw it when they played Borussia Dortmund after the restart, they can also play a deeper line and say, you know what, we're not going to go and win the ball in the final third. We're happy to win the ball deeper and then play out from the back. You know, we've got players who can do that, whether it's Thiago Alcantara or Kimmich or whatever. So Bayern can beat you in different ways and they can defend in different ways.
Right. Now for something completely different. Since we have an Eagles and Cowboys fan on today, any way too early Super Bowl picks for this year? By the way, who's your team, Dan? Please don't tell me it's the Patriots. Yuck. My team is the Chicago Bears, because in the 80s, on Channel 4 in England, which is a free-to-air kind of terrestrial channel, they would show American football, and Chicago Bears were great then. Peyton Manning, Steve McMahon, the fridge, and those sort of people. So that's where the allegiance to the Bears come from.
You mean Walter Payton?
That's Walter, what I said. Payton. Walter Payton. Yes. Oh, Dan. This, to be fair, my NFL knowledge probably about on par with my soccer knowledge there, so that's fair. okay. So, boys, way too early Super Bowl picks. Yeah. Ali?
Well, sure, I'll take my Cowboys. I take them every year, and I think they're going to be great. And then we're sold on Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott and the talent that we have in the offense. And this defense is going to run all over the place, and this scheme and the 4-3 and this and this, whatever, all this nonsense. I'm going to trust my Cowboys because I'm a fan, and that's it. And this is what fans do. They believe in something that is not there. But I'm going to support my team, and I'm going to hope that they have a great season.
Gab?
I'm also very much just a fan. I obsess over only one team. We've brought in a lot of speed this year at wide receiver through the draft. We also brought in a backup quarterback that I'm not sure we necessarily needed, but he has a cool name, Jalen Hurts.
Oh, my God, this is so dull. Cool. I don't care about any of this.
Hurts is a very cool name.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like a verb as well.
No. I'm going to pick the Chiefs.
Whatever, we'll finish above the Cowboys.
I like
that's
Patrick
fine.
Mahomes. He's better than Peyton Manning. Okay, final one. Gab.
What about Walter
Peyton Manning's retired, but whatever.
I know that. It was a joke. He's on every car insurance commercial here. Every time. There he is. Okay. Gab. Did I say Steve McMahon or Jim McMahon? But I'm going back to that. Anyway, Gab, Thiago had an extraordinary game, completing 94 passes with over 90% accuracy. Why are Liverpool hesitating to buy him at a bargain price? And why are no other clubs fighting for his signature?
So I think he's either 29 or is turning 29. 40 million for a guy who's got 1 year left in his contract. Is not necessarily that much of a bargain price. And I think he makes sense for Liverpool. I think Liverpool are interested. I don't know if they're going to be interested at that price because he's also going to command a big wage. I think the question that you have to ask with Thiago Alcantara is, given the way Liverpool play, given the midfielders that they have, you know, can he run around with the same intensity as physicality as an Oxlade Chamberlain or Wijnaldum or Jordan Henderson? And how important is that to Jurgen Klopp? I think in certain games, that's important. In other games, I think he would be a welcome addition because, you know, when it comes to creativity, when you look at this Liverpool team, you get some from Firmino, you get a lot from Alexander Arnold, but you don't necessarily have that guy who can go and unpick opposing defenses with his passing. So the question is, are you going to go and change everything for a guy who actually will cost you a lot of money? 40 million for a 29-year-old with 1 year left of his contract is by no means cheap in this market. So I think they may look at him and they may see if they can get perhaps a better deal.
I think that is it, gentlemen. Any last words on the Philly backup quarterback gap, or is that it?
It's an interesting name, Dan.
Well, it hurts, yes. Like listening to that explanation about them. Who's going to do better then, the Eagles or the Cowboys?
Come on.
I think we'll be fine. We'll win the this is not necessarily a Super Bowl winning Eagles team this year, or even one to go deep in the playoffs. But come on, man, it's the Cowboys. You know Jerry Jones is going to screw things up.
Don't forget about the Mike McCarthy effect. The Mike McCarthy effect, huh? Come on, Gap. Well, you know better.
That's obviously a step up after you got rid of the weirdo redheaded quarterback from Princeton, but you know who was coaching you for so many years. I don't even want to say his name.
Jason Garrett. The name you're looking for is Jason Garrett.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much, boys. More from us on Extra Time tomorrow. Until then, goodbye.